Good morning and welcome to today's oil market update with Callum McPherson. How are you today, Callum?
Good morning. Yes, very interesting morning.
Yes, good. So there has been quite a lot going on in energy markets anyway, but all of this pales in insignificance compared with the drone attack on Saudi Arabia over the weekend. So Callum, can you start by giving us a summary of what actually happened?
Yeah, well, we've all seen the pictures over the weekend of the oil infrastructure on fire. A number of drones made successful hits. The Houthi rebels in Yemen have claimed responsibility for these attacks, but the US are alleging that Iran is actually behind this, perhaps much more directly than it has been in the past. Saudi Aramco admitted that 5.7 million barrels per day, which is around, which is over half of Saudi production. It's probably, before the attack, production was probably about 9.7 million barrels per day. And that is now offline. And they have claimed that half of this will be restored today, but there are other reports suggesting that is not achievable. But we'll see. There's a lot of views at the moment. I think that the position is relatively clear. Now, having said that half of the production will be restored today, there is no timeline as yet for the remainder of the production. And of course, it's not that we haven't had any warnings that things were in a rather tricky situation in Saudi Arabia. There have been a number of attacks since the spring. This obviously, of course, is a substantial escalation of that, but the danger has been there.
So what would you say this actually means for supply-demand balance in the market?
Well, usually when there's a disruption anywhere in the world, we start to ask about Saudi spare capacity and how quickly the Saudis can bring capacity online to resolve the disruption, because we look to Saudi Arabia as being the swing supplier. But of course, now it is Saudi Arabia that has the problem, and the volumes are so large that nobody else can come in and cover the shortfall. So we're really reliant on the Saudis to restore supply very quickly. The market had been pretty much balanced ahead of this incident, so now we have a deficit as of today of 5.7 million barrels per day of production versus demand, and that is a massive deficit. So we'll see. It really depends on how quickly the Saudis can restore production. But I mean, even if they get half of it back online, that still leaves us with a deficit of 3 million barrels per day, which is a very, very significant deficit.
Okay, and Brent has spiked to $70 a barrel overnight. So where might we go from here?
Well, again, this depends really on how quickly the Saudis can restore supply. But if we consider highs we've seen in recent times, I mean, actually, around this time last year, Brent reached $86 per barrel, and that was on worries over sanctions on Iran. Now, at that time, of course, we had Saudi Arabia and other OPEC nations coming in, and they, in fact, oversupplied the market. But there is nobody to do that this time. $86 per barrel is actually quite an interesting level, because there's a long-term downtrend which comes from the high just ahead of the financial crisis in Brent. So if it were to go through 86, that would not only break the high of last year, but it would also break this long-term downward trend line. Before we get to there, we have the high of this year of 75.50, which was set in April to look out for.
And Trump has already been tweeting about this. Can you give us an update on that, please, Colin?
Yes, well, Pompeo, the US secretary, said alleged that this attack wasn't actually from the Houthis. Maybe it didn't come from Yemen at all. Perhaps it came from directly from Iran, or perhaps it was actually fired by Iranian-backed militias in Iraq. So we shall see. But Trump has tweeted saying that the US is locked and loaded, ready to respond as soon as it becomes clear who was behind this. He also conceded that, in his words, this may have an effect on oil prices. So he's authorised release of strategic reserves to help ensure that markets are properly supplied, and that's maybe another thing that's helped to bring prices down a little bit. And ironically, of course, last week Trump sacked his security advisor Bolton, and the reason for that, it seems, was that there were some discussions about easing sanctions on Iran, Trump apparently was warming to that idea, whereas Bolton was strictly against it. So perhaps now he's saying, "I told you so," and maybe Trump will want to hire him back. I mean, who knows? But there's certainly no question about easing of sanctions now, I don't think.
Okay, so finally, what are the longer-term implications, you'd say?
Well, however quickly or not Saudi Arabia can bring production back online, this incident raises profound questions over Saudi Arabia's role as the world's reliable swing producer. Because if this can happen once, then presumably it could happen again. Now, we rely on Saudi Arabia, as I say, to be the swing producer, and without that certainty of having a large amount of excess capacity which can be brought online quickly, then there's maybe a case for a much larger risk premium being priced into markets. I think this is also bad news for OPEC generally, as a lot of OPEC's credibility rests on Saudi Arabia. And the beneficiaries, I think, would be for any kind of oil supply outside of the Middle East, perhaps especially US shale, which will certainly benefit if prices remain in a more elevated position. But I think also other forms of energy, such as liquefied natural gas and indeed renewables. Only time will tell, but it may be that we look back on this incident as being a critical development in motivating the energy transition.
Sounds like a very interesting week ahead. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.